Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is November 20th, 2014. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most just do not realize it, but we are in that time to the end. And that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. 620-878-4682. And in an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886. You can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address at our blog, which is simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And folks, for those of you, maybe the 15% of you that I hear out there do not use the internet, feel free to call me for any kind of a question that you may need. Otherwise, you can go to prophecyhour.com, which is very smartphone friendly, and so is our radio, end time radio archives, which are over there to also check them out, share it with your three other people. And now we need to get on with tonight's program. As you can tell, folks, maybe I'm losing my voice. I have caught a cold today. So now prayer will bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray, Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will, not my will. Father, we can do nothing without you. All things come from you and by you. So please, Father, I ask that you take control of this program tonight. Give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth. So please, Father, in your son's mighty name, Yeshua HaMashiach, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, last week, folks, if you remember, I brought up with our guest that the Nashville Cathedral in Washington, D.C. was going to have a Muslim prayer service there. The National Cathedral is the Church of St. Peter and St. Paul. It's in the city and diocese of Washington, D.C. It's operated under the more familiar name of Washington National Cathedral. It is a cathedral of the Episcopal Church located in Washington, D.C. It's the sixth largest cathedral in the world, the second largest in the United States, and the highest, as well as the fourth tallest structure in Washington, D.C. The cathedral is the seat of both the presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church and the bishop of the Diocese of Washington. Clearly, it's a symbol of Christianity in this country and for the rest of the world. Well, last Friday, they said, as a sign of unity between Christians and Muslims, Muslims were allowed to put prayer rugs down and have their Friday prayer service there. On this program, on Thursday, I told our guests that it was blasphemy to do this in the house of God. And the Christian God is Yahweh, and it isn't Allah. As Allah has no son, therefore he who denies the son denies also the father. That's the spirit of Antichrist. Well, then we learn Christine Wheat, a 50-year-old Michigan woman with flowing blonde hair who lives out of her car, rose from a packed National Cathedral, the Hall of Halls in terms of religious prominence in America, moved towards the front of the church. She pointed to the cross hanging overhead, and that cross seemed to be the one thing nobody wanted to look at. The Muslims had set up prayer rugs in such a way that their backs were turned on the cross, which they consider an alien religious symbol. They found themselves staring at a woman who demanded the cross become their center of attention. She blurted out the message, and she called all day from Teddy to deliver. So let's listen to that audio now real quick.
Jesus Christ died on that cross over there. He is the reason why we are to worship only Him. Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. We have built the loudest and most mass in this country. Why do we worship
the cross? The cross of prayer. It was invented in Arabic.
Well, now let's welcome that brave woman, Christina Week. Are you there with me, Christine? Christine?
I am here.
I'm here, okay. Well, for a minute there, I didn't think I had you, and I would have been in trouble because I'm losing my voice. But I'm really glad to have you on with us. And so I'd really like you to relax and take a journey back and tell us when you decided to go there and why, and just tell us the story.
Well, I guess it all. I got a really bad echo.
Is that okay. On
your end?
No, it's fine.
Okay, I think I got it now. All right, yep, I'm good now.
Okay,
sorry about that.
No problem. It's live radio. Things like that happen, and our listeners know it. So, I'd rather be live than pre-recorded. I just can't do pre-recorded programming very well, but. Live, we have it that way. I pray, and you know, we want the Father to lead us. We want His Spirit to lead us. So, you just relax and tell us a story. What possibly could have got you to make this trip?
It started with an article on the Drudge Report. I opened up the article, and it was the first time I heard that the Cathedral was having a service predominantly for Muslims only, or just a Muslim-only service for the call of prayer, and they were very thinking that this was going to be a very wonderful event, and the way that they talked about it, it was something that was going to be the first time ever that it was not an interfaith service. It was just to allow them to worship in the church, and I just thought, I need to do something about it. And I called a handful of friends, just a few of my go-to friends, and I said, you are not going to believe what I am thinking I want to do. And I said, I have felt this feeling before about having to do something, and I said, I'm feeling that again. And I said, I am going to be in trouble if I end up pulling this off. I said, I'm going to be arrested for this. But, you know, not one of those friends told me, don't go or think about this clearly. You're doing really something wrong. No, not one of them said that. In fact, they said, well, we're all going to pray about it. And I said, I need to make my decision tomorrow, which was going to be Wednesday. I said, help me in deciding whether or not I need to do this.
Well, amen. Sounds like you had some real good support there. Point being, I guess, is most people, because nobody showed up but you, would think that if you go there, that you would be absolutely arrested before you ever got near the door. That didn't scare you?
And that was my concern. I'm going to drive 400 miles one way to get turned around at the door because I read in the article it was for invited guests only. And it was going to be limited to a small number crowd. And I thought, I'm never going to get in there. And I'm running all this doubt through my mind. You're never going to get in. You're going to make a fool out of yourself. You're going to, you know, get in trouble financially. I figured I would be fined for disorderly conduct. I had a lot of things going through my mind that this was just not a smart thing to do. And that evening in my devotions, Tuesday evening, nothing came out at me. Nothing that was like the Lord prodding me. But nothing said no either. So I went to evening prayer service at a church in Kingsport, Tennessee. And I just said, Lord, I need some help here. You know, give me a message through the sermon. And nothing really jumped out, and then nothing really said no. So, okay, so I had a good night's sleep, and then I woke up in the morning with the same feeling. I have to go. And it's like, okay. So I am driving on the interstate towards Tennessee. Again, a lot of doubts. And up ahead on the shoulder of the highway, there's a car parked there. And I'm in the right-hand lane and driving, you know, this, a little slower than the speed limit, but basically I'm driving the speed limit. And a woman opens up the car and gets out. And I'm like, hey, don't be doing that. And I'm like, you know, that wasn't smart.
Right.
She points at my vehicle, gives me a two thumbs up, and claps her hands as I'm driving by. And I am thinking, that was the strangest thing. I thought, what in the world? And then it hit me. That's my confirmation. That was it. And if she only knew what she did for me that day, I can't explain it, how I would not probably have gone further, or maybe I had more doubts. But that right there pushed me on to Washington. And well, I want to thank her for that, if we ever meet.
Well, amen. Let me say something about that. You know, we're supposed to always entertain strangers kindly, because we never know when it might be an angel. You know, for all you know, that might have been a guardian angel there, sent there to egg you on. Just look at the timing of it. Just at the right specific time that you needed to go on.
Yes. In the meantime, I had called a couple of friends and told them this, that this is just crazy. And I says, okay, I'm moving on. I says, I'm going to do this. I'm going to keep going. And one of my friends mentioned to me, she says, Christine, I'm going to pray that you are invisible when you get there. Because my concern was getting in. I had to get inside somehow. I arrived at Washington approximately 7, 8 o'clock at night, and then I stayed overnight in a parking garage, which was just a block from the cathedral, and I walked to the cathedral about 10 a.m., and I had a good night's rest again. It, considering how my mind was racing before I went to sleep, I actually was surprised I actually got some sleep, but now my concern was, how do I get in? The front doors were locked, and there was a posting of some notes on there about it would not be opened due to an event. So there was a guard walking around on the area there. So I asked him, where was the door that they're letting in for the service? And he says, well, walk around, and he kind of pointed the way. So that's where I went. Now, I am on a sidewalk that kind of goes into a V, where another sidewalk comes from the opposite side, and they meet at a small door. It was just a regular door. And I noticed that there's a touchpad entry in order to enter the church.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, how does I don't have the code. I mean, I don't know how to get in. So I could see people behind the door, so I thought, well, I guess I'll knock. Right when I get to the door, another cathedral security officer steps right in front of me, punches the touchpad, and lets me in. He opens the door. I mean, now, I mean, I was not going to, I just went right in. I mean, boom, you know, I'm not waiting for anything. I just walked right in. And then, of course, he looks at me, and I go, now I got to say something. So this is something I had thought of the night before. I thought, so he looks at me and I says, I am here to help with the refreshments. Now, understand that my intent was, I was the refreshment. That's how I twisted the words to make it so it wasn't a lie in my mind.
It wasn't a lie.
I also thought that if I couldn't get past I have no idea what the inside was like, but if I couldn't get to a certain point, that's why I arrived early, thinking I would help with the refreshment. So I would at least be able to work somewhere where I could scout the place out, and then I could disappear and go where I had to go. That officer brings me to the security station where they're checking IDs. I did not have a purse with me, so I was okay with the baggage, but they were checking IDs, and he approaches one of them and says, this woman is going to be helping with the food. Okay, and they pass me right through without even checking me. I'm like, okay. So now we're walking a considerable distance to the main foyer. Another guard takes me to a woman who's in the main foyer, and it's it's fairly busy. There's reporters taking interviews and so on, and there's a woman in their Muslim dress walking around, and there's a woman with a clipboard that I got brought to, and the officer says to her, she is going to be helping with the refreshments. And she looks at me and she says, are you looking for, no, she looks at me and she says, do you need Lorna? I remember her wording. Do you need Lorna? Yes, I say. And I'm like, remember the name Lorna, remember the name Lorna.
Yeah, Lorna,
and
really.
I kept, and I went, yes, I do need Lorna, and Lorna needs me. I mean, it was just, again, a spiritual play of words.
Yeah, absolutely.
And she says, and she says, well, Lorna has not arrived yet. And I said, fine, I will use the restroom and I will be back.
Right.
I found the restrooms. They were downstairs. And that's where I waited for an hour and a half. Now,
okay,
in the bathroom,
wait,
I'm getting nervous.
Just a second.
Yes, go ahead.
Just a second. Beyond the fact that I'm really laughing at, actually, I'm laughing not at you, but I'm laughing at the Spirit of God because, you know, to you get in all this far without pulling an ID or something is just really, really pretty amazing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It just doesn't happen. You know, it just doesn't happen. The folks, and that's what I want you to see, you to see how the Spirit has led this whole thing. But go on. We've got about another 6 minutes before the halftime, so go right ahead.
Okay. So I am in the bathroom, and I knew the call of prayer would be about 12:20. It was mentioned in the article. So I wanted to get there a little sooner as people were sitting down rather than walking in and, you know, having, you know, people who's walking up. I had to get to the front where everybody was sitting. I'm assuming it was closer to the front of the church. Now, when I was in the foyer with the woman with the clipboard, I noticed that there was a line of security that was right before the sanctuary. Before you entered the sanctuary, I had another hurdle right there. I had another row of security to go through. And at this point, my ID is from Michigan, which I figured might have been a red flag had they asked
right.
for my ID. You know, but I had it with me just in case, but I was hoping they wouldn't ask for it. So in the stall, I'm praying, Lord, what time? What time? I don't know. And 11:45 pops in my mind. So I'm looking at my phone and, you know, 11:44 and 11:45. Okay. So I walk out of the stall and there's a woman washing her hands at the sink. Now around her neck is a cord with her identification badge that said press. So she was with the media. And
right.
I asked her, I said, do you know what time the service starts? And she says, in just a couple of minutes. And I said, okay. And she asks me, do you know where to go? And I said, no, I don't. So this is when I just said, oh, my God, really? And she says to me, I will follow me. She says, follow me. I will take you to the front. And I'm like, okay. And we walked up the stairs, and we entered that main foyer area. This is where the security now, you know, my last security hurdle. She walked right past him. I walked right with her. They never said a word to me. And that's when I realized I was invisible.
Amen.
I felt like I was. Yeah.
Amen. Well, you know... Okay, let's go like this. You know, why would they, you know, by the time that you got that far and you're walking with the media, why would they have any second thoughts? But the whole point is while they might have saw a person, they didn't see. They saw, but they didn't see. That's because of the Father blinding them. And so this is miraculous.
Yeah.
For you to get it, just
yeah.
You haven't even said anything yet, but you've gotten this far in with it, with no obstruction. There's no, folks, look at this. There's not been one obstruction. Am I wrong, Christine? Has there been any obstruction in this?
None. Not one bit. In fact, it got crazier as I approached the beginning or at the front, at the, just before the beginning of the service, as I approached where I was going to sit. She walked with me all the way through the corridor, and it's a good 3-5 minute walk. I mean, it's quite a ways to walk. and I noticed a bunch of chairs, and then there was the press box with all the media, where that's where she went. But she told me, she says, go find a seat over here, which is where a bunch of people, I don't know, 100, 200 people, I have no idea how many people were seated there, and they were seated behind the women that were on prayer rugs. Wouldn't you know, as I'm scouting for a seat, there's an open one in the front row. You know, that, I think, is when I started to realize, oh, I realized it probably in the bathroom, but that's when I started to realize I am going to do this, and that's when my heart started pumping out of my chest. I got scared. I mean, I'm like, oh, wow, this is going to occur. I got this far. I can't let the Lord down at this point, and I guess the people sitting on prayer rugs started to anger me, too, because this
okay,
was to me an abomination.
Let's hold okay. it right there. We've got a little over a minute before break. If people are listening to you, I know you, and we can talk about that later if you want to, but contact point, is there any way for them to contact you if they hear this story and they'd like to get a hold of you, maybe to help you in some manner or talk to you? Is there any way they can contact you?
Well, at this point, I will let my phone number out. They can contact me there. I'll use your discernment. Do you feel I can give my phone number out? I think I can. That's fine. I haven't done that except to the media.
We can do one of two things. Listen, we can do one of two things. You can either give your phone number out or you can simply tell them to call me and I'll screen them for you.
That would be perfect. Why don't you
okay.
give your phone number out, and then
right.
if they want to help, I don't expect help.
Well,
the Lord has helped me enough, but I'll leave that up to you.
All right. Well, we're going to go to break in a minute. Let me say something to him. Folks, if you care to help Christina in any way, we'll get into why she lives in her car a little bit later, but if you'd like to talk to her, maybe another media appearance or something like that, call me, Pastor Dan, at 316-619-4886, 316-619-4886, and we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family. Studies have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific.
Thank you. unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Lawrence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com. Or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, folks, please first excuse my voice. I got a terrible cold, but I would like to ask you tonight to please remember to pray about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. You know, why do so many people come to us for help? Well, love is the first answer, and then they're treated as family. And second, beyond that, we have no guidelines like programs. People walk in the door and ask for what they need. We don't have the need for that. Well, you know, we pray it in for them. And so that's the way it is. That's why all the agencies in Wichita tell all their employees about the Potter's Little Mission Church. You see, when guidelines stop them from helping, they send people to us. People who have millions of dollars in their budget send people to a place that really has no budget. And, folks, we are responsible to care one for another. So please pray about it, as we are our brother's keepers. But tonight I also ask you to remember that next week is Thanksgiving, and we have a big, it takes us, we open on Thanksgiving Day to give the people a Thanksgiving dinner. Not the day before a meal or the day after like so many people do. And I'm not downing anybody that gives out a meal, a free meal. But we open on Thanksgiving. We're open all day and all night long. And we really feed and care for the people. We give them a loving Thanksgiving. In fact, all the people over there call my wife and I, mom and dad, and they get a family home-cooked meal. But we're still short on the money that it's going to take to do that. So would you pray about making a donation for Thanksgiving this week? But tonight I also am going to ask for something else. So you just pray about that. You can donate online or by mailing a check or money order. You can find all that information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecy, excuse me, prophecyhour.com. Or call me at 620-878-4682 or by my cell phone, which is 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886. And if after tonight you decide that you might want to help the brave woman, Christina, that we're talking to tonight, if you'd like to help her in some manner or get some kind of a message to her, you call my cell phone at 316-619-4886 and we'll talk about it. But anyway, now we are back with Christina Week, and she's the woman that interrupted the Muslim prayer service in the Washington Cathedral. Are you there with me, Christine?
I am here.
Well, I'm glad you are. I'm just about not. My voice is going. Anyway, you have us clear up to where you are at the front, and are you scared?
Yes, and, you know, as I said, I scouted for a seat, and the Lord provided me one right in the front. I was so close to the prayer rugs that I could have stretched out my foot and touched one. That's how close that they were to me in the front. The women were separated from the men, and I guess I get a little bit of an angst in me about that. I'm looking at an abomination about to happen in the Church of the Lord. And you don't understand. I guess the words I could say is, like, I remember how Christ got angry in the temple. Now, I wasn't about to take prayer rugs and throw them around. That was not my point. But I was getting angry that this was actually occurring. But when I shifted my gaze to the press box, that's when I really understood how big of a deal this was. There was umpteen amount of cameras from ABC, NBC, Fox News. It was just all the press was sitting there waiting to videotape this abomination. I got other words for it, but it's what it was to me. You know,
it was an abomination.
It was something wrong. And that's when my heart really, I have never in all my life felt my heart beat so hard before. I've never had that. And I am like, I'm scared, because now I realize I am going to be arrested. This is a big deal. This is going to be big trouble for me. I was now waiting for the time to speak. You know, when, Lord? When? You know, and I'm praying this. You know, I didn't know exactly what was going to be going on. But the bishop of the church made a short announcement, and he said something about it would be starting sooner, and then he spoke some things in Arabic and said, thank you for coming. And then there was a pause. Now, I knew that the call of prayer would be coming soon, so I had to make my move now because I would be drowned out with the sound of the, whatever you want to call it, the shouting slash singing.
Yeah.
I don't know what you... Another abomination in the house of the Lord.
Very good.
And so I knew I had to make my decision quickly. And up in the distance, they had every Christian thing taken away, or you couldn't see anything. But they had a huge iron gate that was in front of Christ hanging on the cross, which was at another point of the church. My eye caught that, and immediately that's when I stood up. It was like it was my time. And here is the amazing thing, Pastor Dan. I spoke something that I did not rehearse in the bathroom. The night before and all the time in the bathroom, I was going to say something different. I rehearsed it over and over and over again so I wouldn't fail. I was going to say, I serve a risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Muhammad is dead. That's what I was going to say.
Right.
Figuring I only had 5-10 seconds at the most to get out what I wanted to say, because I knew security would be on me.
Sure, sure.
When I stood up, it came out totally different. And that brings me to that point in the Bible where Jesus said, when you stand up in front of men and in courts or whatever that is, don't be afraid of what to say. I will put the words in your mouth.
Yeah, amen.
And that's
amen.
Exactly what he did. I pointed at the cross, and I faced the cameras, and I pointed at the cross, and I said, Jesus Christ died on that cross over there. We are only to worship him. And then I think I say something about he alone is our Lord and Savior. Now, at this point, the Muslims are all, like, looking at me. You know, they're right on my left. So I turn around, and they are below me because I'm standing, and I point at them, and I say, we have allowed and built your mosques across this country. Go worship there. Stay out of our churches, or get out of our churches, or something like that.
Right.
And then I said, America is founded on Christian principles, but I'm really drowned out at that point.
Right.
What I did not notice until I watched the video is there's a man in a brown coat approaching me as I stand up. If you look at the video, he comes towards me, I move away. He comes towards me, I move away. I don't remember that at all. I don't. And in the end, he is one of the men who take me away along with another man in a purple robe. And I remember as I am, you know, trying to get out my last few words, that I hear the other security saying, blonde woman, black coat, white scarf, get her out of here. You know, I can hear the commotion with the security.
Was it rough with you?
No, not at all. They were firm. In fact, one of the gentlemen, I don't know which one it was, said to me, you are walking over here, or you are moving over here, or something to that effect. In other words, they were very firm with me, but not rough, not at all. I see a police officer come running down the corridor, and I reach out my hands to him like I'm getting arrested. I reach out my hands to him. And he takes my hand like he's my dad, like he's my father. And he walks me all the way, hand in hand, to the back of the church where that last security line was. Like he was my best friend. He never said one word to me. I get handed over or passed over to another female officer who takes me to the front of the church where I would have come in through the big doors. And that's where I say, thank you, Lord, for letting me do this. And then she escorts me outside where another officer takes me, and he walks me all the way to the road. And not one word was said to me. He kind of pushed me over to the sidewalk, and I turned and looked at him, and I said, you have a good day. He said nothing and walked away.
Really?
And I'm like, I mean, at this point, I'm like, okay. In fact, I walked back to my car in the parking garage, and I missed my street entirely. I walked right by the street. My mind is 100 miles an hour, and I'm like, Lord, I did it. I did it. And it's like, Lord, you got me in. And, oh, man, I could hardly get my phone out to text my friends or call them and tell them that I did it. It happened. You guys, I got through, you know, and I know they were in prayer the whole time. I know they were. And
amen.
This is where
not
I
only did he get you up there to do it, he brought you back. He delivered you back out because you were faithful and allowed his spirit to lead you. I imagine you were pretty dumbfounded when you were just released, you know.
Absolutely. And you know, the first thing in my mind I thought was, why, Lord, was it me? I am not educated. I am not rich. I am not famous. And it was like, because I was able or wanted to do something for the Lord. I was faithful with my feet, you know, and it was just something that the Lord laid on my heart to do, and he provided the means for me to do it. I had to trust him. And there was times there where I didn't. I had all these doubts in my mind. You know, I didn't trust them 100%. I was apprehensive from the beginning. But when I finished, I said, thank you, Lord, for letting me do this.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, let me say just a couple of things. Number one, you know, it's amazing that, okay, you say you live in your car, right?
I do. There's been circumstances in my life that have been heartbreaking, and the Lord has yanked every anchor in my life that I knew that I was going to go on the road.
Okay, amen. So you've been going on the road, going where the Father leads you. I mean, you know, I noticed that you've been an abortion protester and a couple other things. And so you're being obedient to the Father, and you're living out of your car. You showed up for the 3 years of his ministry, where he lived from place to place and everything. And so there's nothing wrong with it. I've seen pictures of you and everything, and you're completely clean-cut looking. You're not, and I'm saying that for the people, you know what I mean? Because this is what I want to say. Isn't it amazing about this is such an abomination? There is plenty of warning. I know plenty of Christians heard about it. Christians that are listening to my radio program heard me complain about this last Thursday, that I'm so amazed that out of everybody that could have went and should have went and stood outside that church and protested, that the Father, the only person that he could get a hold of that would listen and be obedient to him to do this, apparently, was a woman That is living out of her car, being obedient to him. And that is simply an amazing fact. And I, you know what, my dear, I know that the Father has greater use of you because this was a huge witness to this nation. The churches should be ashamed that they have not taken the stand that you have to allow these abominations already into our country. They're here because the church allowed it. They didn't stand up and get their voice. And you're here, dear, you stood up and you used your voice. And you could have, tonight we might not be having a strong conversation because I'm really surprised that you're not in jail.
You know, I got a news report, I think it was Saturday. I'm worried. You're kind of looking in the rear view mirror, you know, you're looking to see it because you don't know. And I was prepared. I figured, hey, I'm going to have a ministry in jail. You know, and I was going to be okay with that. I said, Lord, if that's where you need me to be, I guess there's someone in jail that I need to talk to. And I was going to leave it at that. And it's a feeling of who cares what happens to you. I know the Lord is with me. But I got a news report from somewhere, I don't remember, and they said that the cathedral and the Muslim community or the organizers of the event, whatever, whoever it was, decided to not press any charges for fear of a backlash.
Really?
I thought that was neat. Yes, that was the reason that they gave. They just figured it was just this afternoon, just keep it quiet and just not create any more problems and just, you know,
well,
on.
You know what? They can be afraid if they want, but you know what, dear? I think they're, and you should prepare yourself because I believe that this is going to turn into something much larger. It really is. My feeling on this is that it's going to cause Christians to start rising up and looking at things. And especially, and we won't go into the other things that we talked about, especially with some other things that are going to happen with you, your message and the message of this, because it isn't your message. You were led by the Spirit. I know, I've been through one of these things. You was led by the Spirit all the way through. He guided your footsteps. The Holy Spirit took over, guided you through all that, got you safely in, got you safely out. And then when it was over, you was astonished going, wait a minute, what just happened? You know, I should be in jail.
Yeah.
And, amen, that was the Spirit. And I believe, I honestly believe in my heart of hearts, that there's going to be much more to this story. How do you feel?
I want to take this opportunity, and I've done a number of interviews now, of course, with the media, and I want to say this, Christian, let's warrior up here. We are called the soldiers of the cross. Then let's start acting like it. If the Lord lays on your heart something, there is something. And you know what? It didn't start with me at the cathedral. It started with me 7 years ago with a family member that I needed to talk to. I was obedient, and I did it, and it cost me a relationship. Something happened in my church. I was obedient. It cost me a relationship. I was obedient. Obedient, and you know what? I didn't do everything perfectly. Don't get me wrong, but I was in training. And every time I did something, I had a piece of doing something because it was right. And every time I did that, it came a little later, there was another issue and another issue. And each time I could see it growing. It was a bigger issue that I had to stand up for. And it was almost like the Lord for 7 years had me in training on how to come to that point last week. Because it started with something in my inner circle that I had to do. And it's like the Lord is not going to put you on the front line without going through training first. And that I can say to each one of you, if you feel a burning in you about taking a stand on something, whether it's at work, whether it's in your home, or it's in your church. Do that. The Lord needs you. The Lord's calling you because somebody else will not do it. So he picked you to have the burning. Follow God's word. Take care of it. And he will give you the blessing of the next adventure. And the next, and believe me, I feel they are adventures.
Yeah.
And this is how we grow in the Lord. And this is how he makes us stronger. And then you can see the miracles that come from it. Yes, be prepared to be ostracized. Oh, has that happened? That's why I live in my car. My family, nothing to do with me. Because I took a stand on things that stepped on their toes. But I refuse to apologize for it. I refuse to back down. I refuse to compromise. Because the God's word said that was wrong. And when I took a stand, it cost me. But you know what? I'm okay. He has provided for me tremendously. And it's the faith that he will pull me through and that he's with me. And I can do it right down to that seat that I found in the front. He provided that for me. He pulled me through.
Wow. Go ahead.
All I can say is, come on. You got to start your training sometime. Be bold. Be brave. Read Psalm 27. Psalm 27, every time I was in a predicament about being scared about standing up and making a fuss, Psalm 27 was it. Read it. Read it, read it. That was my go-to Bible verse right there. And it's amazing how it will fit your stand. It works. God's word works. It's our shield. It's our protection. Use it. Read it. Use it. Put it to heart. All I can do is encourage you, because there are bigger things that are coming besides this cathedral thing. There are more things coming. And we've got to start doing something, or the Lord is going, we all know what prophecy is, but, you know, we still need to fight. There's a battle out there. It's about time we acted like we are soldiers for the cross.
Yeah. Amen. Very strong words, and you know, you're being obedient, and that's what he wants, is us to be obedient. He'll take care of us. We're to trust him totally by faith. That's the example that you're giving. And you know, I do want to ask you one little thing that I had written down here. In a picture that Stan sent me, you're holding a book. It says, "Explain this." Did you write this book or something?
Yes, I wrote that book 4 years ago. And that kind of started my idea of buying a booth at craft shows and fairs, and I was marketing my book, and it was explaining the end times. That right there, that was an obedience right there. I'm not a writer. I never wrote anything since high school. The Lord laid it on my heart one day, write a book. You're going to write this. And that's a whole another testimony in itself. That could be a whole show right there, how that came about. But having the booth, I was interacting with the public, and I would say, hey, are you a Bible reader? And that turned into a ministry in itself. If somebody said no, I'd ask them, why not? And we converse. And there's many a time I've left. It wasn't about selling the book. I actually gave them literature about the Bible and about salvation. That prompted me to be bold. And it turned, and like I said, it was a journey he put me on. And
that's quite a thing. Go ahead.
So someone had told me, you ought to write a book about your adventures. And at this point, I never journaled. It was just, I kept all these treasures in my heart, you know.
You're going to be a strong witness. I'm not going to go into what I know and what's probably going to happen with you, but I believe strongly that the Father's going to use you in a great way because of this act of obedience. And you will be blessed. I'm not saying that you won't be through more tribulations, but, you know, the real gospel says that we will be, that if we're a believer, we will be in tribulation because we love him and we're different than the world. So, amen. You've got like 1 minute and to say goodbye to the folks, and I'll keep in touch with you, and we'll do this again, I'm sure.
Okay. I guess my plea and my prayer is, again, I know there's somebody out there who has a situation in her family, in his workplace, that is angering him because that person is blatantly spitting in the face of God by either their actions or their words. And it's hard to speak up. But you can do it in love. You can be firm, and you can do it in love. That takes training in itself. And yes, I have failed in many places on that. However, I still got the job done. I still made sure that that person knew where I stood and why. That is so important. Use your Bible as the direction that you need to go. The Bible has every situation in it addressed. You can use it to show somebody else who may not have read that passage or may not know the Bible. All you got to do is plant the seed. You don't have to convert everybody. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Our job is to plant seeds and let God take it from there. Other people can have other jobs. If you feel compelled to plant the seed, go do it today. You may not have tomorrow.
Yeah, amen. Well, Christine, you're very brave, and I know, like I say, I know I'm going to have some contact again with you, and so is a brother that we've talked about before. So you be blessed, and
thanks
for being on with me, okay?
And thank you also for your ministry. And we are all tools in the toolbox, people. We're all tools in the toolbox. Someone's the hammer, someone's the screwdriver. We all can be used of God. We just got to be there and willing.
Yeah. Amen. Well, thanks for being on with me. I'm going to have to let you go so I can get out of here.
Thank you.
So you be blessed. We'll
okay.
talk again. All right. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Wow. Well, folks, I am losing my voice, but I'll be back next week, of course, and we got some good guests lined up with you. But next week's Thanksgiving, come to think of it. I don't know if I'm going to pre-record something for Thanksgiving. You all know how I hate pre-recorded programs, but take this opportunity to really pray about it. We need your help for Thanksgiving. Any kind of gift will help. And if you want to help Christine, listen, she's a home. I hate to call her homeless because she has a car. She lives in her car and for reasons that she stated, but if you want to help her, call me, and I'll put you in touch with her if you'd like to help her. Right now, currently, she is in Tennessee, so some of you folks down there might want to open your home to her or something. I don't know, but pray about it. Pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. We do need your help for Thanksgiving, and this will be my last radio plea unless I pre-record something until after Thanksgiving. So pray about it. We could really use your help. Anything would help because we're way short on what we need to get this done. So please pray about it. Anyway, we must remember there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins. He rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through his Son, is the way to the Father. Remember, he is the living Son. Lord our God, Father King Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you and gives you peace. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.